Well, I was talking to someone last weekend, a really smart guy I know, and here's what he said to me. He said, in his opinion, any person who's against global warming would then have to be in favor of nuclear power.
Is that a law written somewhere he's telling you
Well, in his opinion, in his very
about?
sort of smart opinion, if you're against global warming, then you're going to need to be in favor of nuclear power. And nuclear, which is for a long time sort of been a bad word, is gaining some steam. There are a lot of former nuclear opponents who are now sort of agreeing with him that it may be the best way to find somewhat clean energy. Meanwhile, this week, Congress is considering legislation that could help ensure that new nuclear facilities get built. Of course, nuclear energy still has some major opponents like Greenpeace and MoveOn.org. Plus, just watch any episode of The Simpsons where a three-eyed fish swims near Mr. Burns' plant, and you get a sense for the PR challenges still facing nuclear energy. Well, this week, the BPP is going to look at the science, the myths, and the emotions that surround nuclear energy. Today, part one.
It's in our vital interest to diversify America's energy supply. The way forward is through technology. We must continue changing the way America generates electric power by even greater use of clean coal technology, solar and wind energy, and clean, safe nuclear power.
That was the President of the United States in this year's State of the Union address. Congress followed through on those words with both the House and Senate passing energy bills this year. Among the many, many points in the Senate's bill, there are these loan guarantees offered to various energy industries, including nuclear power. And there's a one-line amendment about nuclear power that was entered without debate. And it provides sort of a built-in safety net, say if a very, very expensive nuclear plant project runs out of money. In a back-to-the-future political moment, longtime anti-nuke activists Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Graham Nash will be in Washington today to ask legislators to block the amendment. The musicians will deliver an anti-nukes petition co-sponsored by MoveOn.org with over 100,000 signatures collected online. Now, we're going to talk to Bonnie Raitt in just a minute, but let's get to that amendment. Steve Mufson is the energy correspondent for The Washington Post. He's going to be our resident smart guy today. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
So, I'm well, thanks. So, what exactly would this provision do?
Well, in the Senate version, it would lift the limit on loan guarantees for nuclear plants. So, the way a loan guarantee works is the federal government says a bank can lend a utility money to build something, and if the utility company can't pay the loan back, then the federal government will, or taxpayers would be another way of looking at it.
So how much money are we talking about in terms of that taxpayers of the federal government could possibly be on the hook for?
Well, that depends on which version of this bill you're looking at. I mean, in the House Appropriations Committee bill, there would be nothing for a nuclear. In the Senate version, there would be no limit. What the nuclear industry has been looking for is $25 billion in each of 2 years.
So $25 billion in 08 and 09?
Right, and remember, these are loan guarantees, so the taxpayers wouldn't necessarily end up spending all that money. But, a lot of nuclear plants didn't work out too well in the last big wave of nuclear plant construction.
Why not?
So, good question, because these things are massively expensive. They take incredibly long to build. They had huge cost overruns, and when a lot of them were finished, the demand wasn't necessarily there. And sometimes they didn't get the license to operate the things after they built them. So we have quite a few sort of half-built nuclear plants lying around the country.
So can you break down the political battle over this nuclear provision, this amendment? Who's on which side?
Sure. The big champion in Congress of nuclear power has been Pete Domenici, the senator from New Mexico. He's the ranking member of the Senate Energy and Commerce Committee, so he's been pretty influential. He is going to retire after the next election, though, and that's probably only increased his eagerness to get this through.
And who opposes him most ardently?
Well, lots of people oppose him, and lots of people in the House of Representatives oppose him, which is one reason why this one-liner in the Senate version of the bill might not, in the end, get through, because there is a lot of opposition in the House, including the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
One thing you hear from the anti-nuke people is that this is a subsidy for nuclear power, but then one scientist I read countered with, one person's subsidy is another person's incentive.
too true. But, we subsidize or give incentives, take your pick, for almost every kind of energy in America. solar and wind have big incentives, and actually oil and gas have incentives in the form of faster depreciation of assets than you would ordinarily be able to do in other businesses.
Steve, you cover energy policy, things like that. Do you get the sense that because of the discussion about global warming getting so much attention, and this, I get the sense, this real feeling for people that there's got to be something else out there. Is that helping nuclear energy? Is that good for its sort of public perception?
Yes, is the short answer, although whether it's good enough is another question, because, again, these things might not make economic sense anyway. And that's what makes nuclear a little bit different. But I think climate change is changing the way we think about energy in all sorts of ways. And this is just beginning, because Congress is going to come up with some kind of climate change bill, and maybe President Bush won't sign it. So there's a very good chance the next president will end up implementing some kind of climate change policy. And that's going to, and the root of that policy is going to be changing the price for carbon dioxide, putting a price on carbon dioxide emissions, which basically there is no price for now. And that's going to change the arithmetic of all sorts of energy projects.
Realistically, the current versions of these bills, how and when could they get passed?
Well, good question. The House and the Senate are working right now to reconcile their two energy bills. The bills are so different that it's really not clear what's going to happen in the end. But I think this week's very important, and the next couple of weeks will be very important for that.
Steve Mufson from The Washington Post, thanks so much for sharing your smarts with us.
Anytime.